You know, at the end of the day, leading people is the fun stuff. It's the development. It's the getting to know the team. It's inspiring and motivating and charting that career pathway, right? Like, it's the fun stuff. It's the stuff we all love about this line of work and this topic. And I always teach new managers, hey, like, that's where you want to get. But the ticket to the dance is first you have to manage the process, because people can't outperform a broken process.
Welcome to Management Development Unlocked, where you will learn how to nurture a world-class management team. And now your host, Eric Girard.
Welcome back to Management Development Unlocked. I am overjoyed that you're here. Please remember to review the show. This will really help it grow and reach more listeners. I'm thrilled to announce that according to this morning's analytics, we have over 3,400 downloads and 1,500 listeners. Today, I am delighted to have Stephen Davis with me. Stephen, welcome to the show. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, thank you very much, Eric. And first, I'm excited to join. I've been listening to the podcast and excited to take part in it today. So right now, I am currently the Director of Learning and Development at Archkey Solutions. It's one of the nation's leading electrical contractor and service suppliers. Just started there about a year ago and helping this company build their learning and development team. I have been in kind of the learning and the development industry for about 20 or so years. Started out college, went to college actually to be a teacher. Decided pretty quickly, I don't know with all the love and respect I have for teachers if I could be in public education kind of for the rest of my career, but still wanted to find a way to teach, to educate, to be in front of people and kind of share that knowledge. So found my way to corporate training. Worked in the healthcare industry for a little while, worked in retail for about 15, 20 years, took a brief outing over to a couple operations roles for a little while, and that really kind of helped put in perspective when I got back to learning and development, the role that learning and development plays. So that's the professional side, and personally, you know, always like to say thank you and love and shout out to my wife and my son, who, man, if you want to talk about learning how to teach and grow and develop people, the kiddos and the family is absolutely the number one resource of learning there.
Yes, it is. How old is your son?
He is 11, just turned 11 in October.
Yeah. So I've got twin 14-year-old daughters, and it's okay. Like learning and development on steroids there.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and sometimes, you know, you find yourself talking to the kid like he's one of your learners in a class in a session, like, yeah, I don't know if I need to give him a list of opportunities or feedback to follow up on.
Please fill out this this level one survey.
Yeah, exactly. Can you fill out the old school like punch form for me? Just make sure you fill in the circles all the way.
Yeah, I try hard not to do that with my girls, but they they have sign language for when I start to over-explain something. They do this.
Ah, perfect.
Dad, you're talking too much. Ma.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, he's got my eyebrows, so he knows. And I see the eyebrow and the eye roll go, and it's, yeah, that one's probably on me.
Yep. Yeah. But kids are amazing, and they are good. They're good for stories in the classroom as well, so that's fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I am really glad to welcome you to the show. This is going to be fun talking to another learning and development geek, so let's dive in. So our topic today is management versus leadership. And Stephen, my first question for you is, what is your philosophy on developing new leaders?
Yeah, well, and I think to your point, Eric, it's my philosophy is just to keep it simple. You know, I think it weaves its way through so much learning and development that, and I believe you mentioned it in your book in several capacities, that, you know, there are very, very few natural born leaders. And we kind of all know those folks by name, right? You know, the Gandhis, the Martin Luther King Jr.'s, Mother Teresa, right? You know, we know the natural born leaders. Everyone else, you and I, and, you know, the rest of the leaders included out there listening, have to learn how to be leaders. And so much of my philosophy, I joke about it with my team all the time, but is R&D. It's rip off and duplicate. There's so much good stuff out there that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Find it, learn it, and see what works for you.
You know, I wonder, I always have a sneaking suspicion that folks who seem really good at something without working at it, I think somewhere behind them was a coach or a huge library or somebody they bounced ideas off of. Because I don't know if Martin Luther King came up with all that himself.
Right? Well, yeah, I mean, some of the earliest lessons I learned from people I respected the most early, young in my career were like, yeah, that's not mine. I stole that from a guy I worked for 20 years ago. She taught me that on my second day. It's like, oh, you mean I don't have to think all this stuff up myself? No, it's out there. Read about it. Learn about it. Study. Get a mentor. People have done it. So just, you know, it's about building that early board of directors to help you understand how to do this thing called leadership and management.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so important to be open to new ideas. I've worked for companies where there was a really strong not invented here kind of attitude. Like if it wasn't invented there, then it didn't get used. And that was really hindering to me in L&D because it felt like I had to come up with all new models myself. I had to come up with all new ideas myself. And I was afraid to go use the Google to solve my problems. And now that I'm free of all of that, and Girard Training Solutions is not an NIH company, you know, we absolutely scour the web and scour the world looking for the best ideas.
Yeah.
How could you not? I mean, yeah. There's so much good stuff out there.
Yeah, well, and I don't mean this as a shameless plug, right? But that's what I loved about your book was that it, you know, immediately it seemed like on page two or three, it's, hey, here's something I read, another quote from another leader or a source or something. And it's, I share that kind of similar philosophy that is, hey, it's, chances are it's already out there. And maybe it isn't. Maybe you get to be the next great innovator of the thing. But if not, if someone else is out there doing a great job with it, why can't you go do that?
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I think the shameless plug would be if I said it.
Okay, duly noted.
But I'll pay you that $5 after the show.
I'm watching for it. Thank you.
All right, good deal. All right. Well, my second question is, where do you see new leaders struggling the most?
Yeah, throughout my career, and I mean that in part because I think it plays to generational differences over my time in learning and development, is I consistently see new managers, leaders, whatever their title is, you know, they have direct reports, struggling with the idea of what is their job now. You know, I'm willing to bet everyone out there listening has either been in or knows someone that was promoted because they were the best doer. They made the best or the most efficient widgets, and now you're promoted to lead the team making the widgets. And it's truly a different job. And I think as management and leadership philosophies evolved, right, you know, we're long past the days where the expectation is you're the feared boss in the corner office. Leadership is an industry now that I think people just truly don't understand what their job is today as this person that has direct reports.
I agree, because I think a lot of folks struggle with letting go of what they were good at. And I love the book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And, you know, it's absolutely true that, you know, just because you were an amazing financial analyst does not mean you're going to be good at leading a team of them.
Yeah.
You have to let go of all that stuff. And that means there's probably going to be some grieving as well, because it's like, shoot, you know what? I really liked a lot of aspects of my old job, and now I have to let that go and pivot to something different.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of fear out there with new managers too, of not wanting to do the wrong thing, not wanting to micromanage, to your point. Like, I don't want to let it go, but I know the right way to do it. You know, just that fear too of, or the inability to understand when, hey, you know, maybe this little failure is okay over there if it helps someone learn their job. That, no, you can't let that thing fall down. But that little thing, yeah, you know, let someone struggle, let themselves discover. So I saw a lot of managers in my last company would come in today, even if they'd been with the company, but really truly come in on that newly promoted day and actually know what to do for the next 8, 10, 12 hours.
Yeah, and that's why I wrote the book. It's like, look, here's something that's easy to digest. It's not 400 pages of dense text. It's the latest and greatest with some venerable models thrown in. That's like, here you go. This will get you started for your first 90 days.
Yeah,
and get you rolling. So yeah. Yeah. I've been that guy. You know, I was really good at being a facilitator, and now I'm leading a team of L&D people. Well, I'll just focus on the facilitation. Doesn't work.
Yep.
Doesn't work.
It's my sweet spot. I'm good at it. I have fun with it. Absolutely.
Yep. Doesn't work. So what do you see as the difference between management and leadership? And this is going to be a good one. I can't wait to hear your answer.
Yeah. And I think this is a huge question, right? But it is absolutely connected to me where I see leaders struggle the most. And I have always looked at it and taught and mentored new managers that your job is to manage a process and to lead people. And those are two completely separate things. And I'm sure when we think about it, we've all seen great managers that are terrible leaders and great leaders that are terrible managers. You know, at the end of the day, leading people is the fun stuff. It's the development. It's the getting to know the team. It's inspiring and motivating and charting that career path for, right? Like, it's the fun stuff. It's the stuff we all love about this line of work and this topic. And I always teach new managers, hey, like, that's where you want to get. But the ticket to the dance is first you have to manage the process, because people can't outperform a broken process. I've seen young managers go in, and I mean young right by tenure, not age. I've seen young managers go into situations and think they're, and try to be like motivational. Yeah, we're going to motivate the team, and they buy him a great lunch, and we, you know, have that amazing, and yeah, it was a great rah-rah speech. But then burn their team out because they're muscling a process. Because they actually didn't understand the process of what needed to get done from a business standpoint. And like, yeah, that's great. You had a really engaged team that started looking for another job because they're burned out. They have, as a new, it's so important that you manage process first, because that's how you set your team up for success. It's okay to set expectations. It's okay to monitor those expectations of your direct reports. It's okay to give them feedback and correct them when they make mistakes. Like, that's the process side, you know. And it sounds a little callous or cold, but truly what I've found managers succeed in is when they realize, like, yeah, your job description and your paycheck is based on that process you manage and your team executes. That has to be done. And you can't develop people if they're struggling on a broken process. So manage that process first, then comes the fun stuff. Then there's the cool coaching and the development and the destination planning and the, like, all that fun stuff we love to do. But I've seen, like I said, you know, that young and tenure get in and try to focus so much just on leadership, motivation, and inspiration, and planning. And cool, you're asking people what they want to do 5 years from now, and I'm not sure they're going to do the job that's going to keep them here a week from now. Like, they're going to burn out if you keep pushing them too hard.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah, I like that. Manage the process, lead the people.
Manage the process, lead the people. And I think it's unique to the individual, right? Like, how much of a balance they need. I can think of one gentleman who used to work for me who I could lead him. I could ask him a lot of questions. I could inspire him. You know, he was just that type where if you just gave him a little nugget, he'd take it and run with it. He loved the challenge. You know, I'd have a great conversation with him, go, hey, but what about this piece? And hit him with something he hadn't heard of, because he just loved it, right? You know, it was so motivational to him to not give him answers and let him find it. You know, leading him was a joy. Well, at one point in his career, he had such a crisis going on in his personal life. Just in all aspects, it was coming from him. And he took the time off that he needed and started to come back several weeks to months later. But I could tell immediately it was still on his mind. And I immediately started to manage him. And I've told this story and people raise an eyebrow, like, well, you know, why would you micromanage him? I'm sure he could handle it. No, actually, he couldn't. He couldn't. What he needed at that point was the reassurance that his job wasn't in jeopardy. That, hey man, with everything you've got going on, I'm going to help manage your process with you. I need you to do A, B, and C by Friday at noon. Can you get that done? Like, I don't care what you do today or tomorrow. It's right. And managed him and switched to, he was in such crisis and still recovering that he didn't have that like mental capacity to be led, to come up with the answers, to think through them and be creative and innovative. He needed the reassurance that, dude, I got your back. What I need you to do is just get this done by Friday and you don't have to worry about anything.
You know, I love that whole idea of I got your back. That really resonates with me because I've had managers who had my back and it felt really, really good. And, you know, it's interesting because what you're talking about is really similar to situational leadership, SL2, and the skill will matrix, except not just on a task basis. It's almost like you took this entire employee and put them down in quadrant one. And
said, yeah.
I'm just going to manage you and direct you for the next week or so until you're back on your feet.
Yep. And that's something I see so many new managers struggle with is just understanding like, yeah, I'd love to be his friend and his buddy. And I do still talk to him, right? You know, we met for coffee last week, but he didn't need that inspirational, motivational manager right now. He needed that very direct management because that's what where he was in his life, in his personal life, in the work. So, okay, great. And you don't, you know, you can't be afraid to focus on the task. You can't be afraid to be very direct. Like there's a time and a place to have his back as a leader and a mentor, and there's a time and place to have his back as a manager and go, dude, this is the expectation. Can you do it? You can? Fantastic. If not, let me know and we'll figure out how to get it done for you.
Nice. Again, having the back, having the person's back. Yeah. Love it. Fantastic. Good stuff. You know, and that actually ties into a talk I just gave before this podcast on empathy and management. And how important it is, you know, in these days in 2023 to be empathetic and to be a good human as a manager, not necessarily to be a counselor or a therapist, but hey, I got your back and we're going to get through this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think to that point, I'd love to hear it because I think a lot of managers get sucked into that, the empathy, and I don't have a good term for it, right? But just that inability to find the line between, your job isn't Dr. Phil. Your job isn't to be their therapist, but it's not binary, right? It's not like you either listen to them and have empathy or don't. No, there's that middle ground of like, hey, I got your back. I'm here to support you. I'm here to defend you if need be, right? Like I'm here for you as a person. And it doesn't mean you pull up a seat on the couch. Here's a box of tissues. Cry for the next 3 hours.
That doesn't sound like fun to me.
No. A little uncomfortable at that point.
No.
Yeah.
No, thanks. Okay. Well, good. So we got their back. Absolutely. And we're talking about the difference between managing process and leading people, which is really an interesting approach, which is, that's pretty cool. So how can new managers filter through the noise of the leadership development industry?
Yeah. One of the questions that came up when I moved to my current organization, Archkey Solutions, was the organization had a lot of focus on talent development and a lot of leaders at all levels of the enterprise really focused on developing their employees. But they didn't really have anyone to help them go, hey, of all the programs, of all the books, of all the webinars, of all of it that's out there right now, where's the value? How do I know that this program more than that one or one versus the other? And I get it. It's such a dynamic topic that it has become a dynamic industry full of a lot of great information. But, you know, I think we're being honest, right? Like not all of it out there is going to be 100% even just useful, depending on you, your background, your position, your experience, right? So there's a lot out there to figure out, hey, what works for me? And I think more than anything else, what I look for and what I coach others to look for is the model, the theory, the philosophy that's being taught truly something that can be applied for you and your role? Meaning, if it's as simple as, hey, I work in a very collaborative environment, but my job as learning development director isn't to set the business strategy for the entire organization. Very collaborative environment, collaborative team, very transparent. I really enjoy the leadership style, but that's not my role. So if I'm going to a seminar, a webinar, a training that's talking about kind of like VUCA innovation and leadership, well, really take time and read and reach out. And yeah, I've never gone to a conference or seminar that doesn't have the, like, if you have questions, reach here. Reach out. Because I hate sending people to trainings or books or what have you when, frankly, it's not something they can actually do in their role. So just do your research, you know, send that email, click on that, you know, if you have need help, please click here button. Because if it's not something that you can apply consistently in your role, look, I'm in learning and development. I think knowledge is power. It's all good stuff. But there's a difference between, like, hey, it's interesting and it's fun and it feels good, and, oh, this is actually going to help me day to day, week to week, year to year.
One of the things that I think of when I'm putting together a training is, can the learner apply what I've talked about that day? So, you know, we go through a 1, 2, 5, 7 hour training. Can you walk out and immediately put it into practice?
Yeah.
That's my watermark. You know, if we can get that, then we've done something.
Completely agree with you. Yeah. The majority of leadership training I've created, I always create this kind of assignment at the end that isn't for you. It's more likely for your manager. So that not only do I want to create it so that you can do and execute the behavior, the thing today, but I'm also kind of going to give your manager a cheat sheet to reinforce it that, oh, hey, did you do the thing Steven taught you to do in class today? So that it's coming at you from all angles. Because, yeah, there's a lot of great information out there, but you've got to be able to apply it. So just do your research and help make sure it's something that really applies to you.
So do you use a level 3 then? Is that where you're headed?
I use all 4 levels of evaluation. Yep, let's get into it. Now, I'm not always saying they're successful at all 4, but we're going all 4 if we can.
Yeah. So for those who aren't familiar, what we're talking about is the Kirkpatrick levels of evaluation. And this guy named Donald Kirkpatrick wrote a book years ago that I read multiple times. And so you've got 4 levels of evaluation, where the first level is the typical evaluation you get at the end of a class, what we call a smile sheet. Did you like the class?
Sure did.
Did you enjoy the facilitator? Was it clear? A level 2 is, can you pass a quiz or a test based on the content? Level 3, which I just mentioned, is, can you go away and do that thing? Can you change your behavior after some time has passed? So when I get the chance to administer level 3, I'm usually looking at 90 days out. So 3 months later, are you still doing what I taught you? And then a level 4 is some kind of business return on investment. So is some metric in the business, some meaningful metric in the business, being affected positively because of what you learned? So that's just a quick detour off into the Kirkpatrick levels of evaluation. You can file that under stuff I didn't need to know.
But hopefully it'll stick with you because it is important, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's talk a little bit about your time at Target. So tell me about your experiences in an operations leadership role while at Target and how that impacted your thoughts in L&D.
Yeah, so I spent about 15 years at Target, and it was a phenomenal leadership learning experience. I was in, you name it, I did it from a learning and development standpoint in my time at Target, but also then had a chance, yeah, to work in the field running a couple stores in the Pittsburgh area. And it, like I said, it was just such a tremendous learning experience. It wasn't something, frankly, that I'd wanted to do. I'm going to guess if there's a lot of L&D leaders or learners out there listening to this podcast, one of the unfortunate side effects is you tend to see when times are tough, L&D headcount can get minimized. You know, we'll use some polite terms here, but it was right after the economy kind of burst in the early 2000s. And yeah, it was, hey, we need to downsize our learning and development team. Thankfully, I'd built enough relationships that I was given that opportunity to move into an operations role. And it's funny, you know, we talk about the Kirkpatrick levels and 3 and 4, because that really was kind of what I learned about L&D and the role L&D plays moving into the operations. You know, it was a night and day difference. You know, today's, you know, let's say today's Friday. I am Target's number one evangelist on the importance of L&D. You're not going to find anyone, I'm not saying better, but man, I would go into any room with any level of leadership and tell you, hey, the most important thing we're doing here is in this L&D team. And I just loved it. I lived it and breathed it, shouted it from the rooftops. It was phenomenal. Come Monday morning, I'm in an operations role. You know, night and day. The L&D job's gone. And now I'm responsible for more than a dozen Target stores, $400 million market. And just about that quickly, my time and patience, I'll say, for learning and development and training was gone. Learning and development became that thing. It's like, look, I have sales goals. I have profitability goals. I have safety metrics. I have other numbers that need to be met today. So I'm sorry you needed 30 people out of this store to do a training. That's not happening. I understand it's important. I might have been the guy that just wrote that training, but it's not happening today. You know, I really started to see that not that the business isn't always able to do what it needs to from a learning and development standpoint, just based on the nature of the business or the speed something like retail moves at. So when I had a chance to get back into L&D, it's funny, I can connect it to the Kirkpatrick levels, right? Where it's like, at one point in time, my level one and two metrics were the best in the business. You know, no one was scoring higher. My numbers were phenomenal. I was bragging about my numbers, competing with my peers on number, right? You know, they're phenomenal. But if the business is suffering, if the operational metrics aren't there, none of that level one and two stuff matters. It just doesn't at all. And I learned that firsthand as an operational leader to go, hey, the role of learning and development, talent development, talent management is only truly maximized when it's supporting the business. It's just that simple. And it's not to be cynical about it, but it's to go, hey, there has to be a return. And that return can be developing and promoting people. But you have to explain to me why, you know, we're going to stop operations for an hour, put contracts at risk, miss numbers, impact Wall Street for your 30-minute training. You've got to be able to understand how what you're doing furthers the business.
You know, to that point, I would say that it's not just furthering the business, but it's like, how do you help me? So if I come to an operations manager or I come to an executive in a business and say, I want to take your people out for 4 hours to do management development, what do I get from that? You know, what's the payoff? And so if I can talk about a problem I solve or pain that I alleviate, and this is what you get for that 4 hours, then you're going to be more likely to get sign off on actually being able to do that.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It was something I learned too. And well, the last company I worked for, which had a call center aspect to the business. And I mean, it was literally as straightforward as, look, I, as the operations leader, believe you, Stephen, that your training is very important and it's only going to take 30 minutes. But you have to understand, if we take X number of people off the phones, that's a breach of contract with that particular client. So how do we go back to the client and say, yes, we validated the contract, but here's the return and why? And the operations leaders were willing to do that to their credit. And the contract holder, the clients always were as well. But again, from a learning and development standpoint, you have to show, hey, what are you actually doing for people or the business or operations? And if you can't clearly articulate that, man, it's a hard sell.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I faced that internal when I was working inside of companies. And now as an external, I have to help my internal client, that person who's come to me saying, Eric, I want your training. But I have to convince my CEO, can you help me do that? And so, you know, being able to say in very clear business-like terms, if you invest these hours, whatever, you know, 1, 2, 4, 8, then this is what you get. This is what your business gets. This is how you're going to pay for that and more. And it makes life a lot easier when you're thinking from a business perspective.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Nice. Well, Stephen, thank you so much. What a cool conversation. How can people find you if they want to learn more?
Yeah, absolutely. Please, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm always very active. I've been there and there for a long time. If you look up Stephen, it's S-T-E-P-H-E-N Davis. And the easiest way to find me is to look for me connected to Arch Key Solutions.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Please subscribe to the show and connect with me on LinkedIn. Pick up my new book, Lead Like a Pro, The Essential Guide for New Managers on Amazon. And we will catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Management Development Unlocked. Want more? Get a ton of insider tips and tools at GerardTrainingSolutions.com.